everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually, episode 143 for the 13th of August, 2011. I almost forgot to get to the microphone.
It's been one of those mornings, though, hasn't it, Dave?
It has indeed. I'm Dave McVeigh. Josh Philpott, you've already heard his voice, and we're also joined by, are you still here? Richard Gray.
Absolutely right. I'm the Heather Locklear to your Melrose Place.
We're a little bit hyperactive because for those who are listening to just the audio podcast, you won't know that we're actually going out 40 minutes late because we've had OS X Lion issues with the computer that we use for going out with, and it's just been a nightmare. But we're here now. Let's get on with this. And what is this show? This is Geek Actually. Basically, this is a show about all that geek crap that only we care about.
Us and everyone else that listens to
this. And everybody who listens to this show. The show is the combination of the old tech show and the Geek Actually after show that we used to run. We've smushed them together, and we basically can call it our Week in Geek, really. We want to thank David Murray, who is also known as Delta Knight, our moderator in the chat room, who is also our researcher, and who also seems to still be at war with Clara Tungle, who has continued to send me links throughout the week. It's getting harder and harder to parse these links together, let me tell you. But we've done our best, so we love both of you guys and keep it up. Okay, we have a crap ton of feedback, so let's get on with this.
I think you'll find that's a metric crap ton.
That's a metric crap ton of feedback. We're going to save that one to last because that's the big one. First one we've got here is from... Now, for those who listened to the Film Actually show last week, this is actually... I've moved the feedback into Geek Actually because we don't ever have time in Film Actually to cover these things. But in last week's Film Actually show, we got a crank call, if you remember, Josh.
Yeah.
They've written to me.
Oh, wow.
Okay. They say, we called
you... apologize for being drunk?
Bear with me. Okay. It says, we called you guys the other night, not on air during our show. We were just trying to reach out to other podcasts. We do a different show than you guys, but checking your show out live, it seemed like a good connection. Don't sweat it if we call back again. Not going to for a bit. We talk movies too. Actually, two out of three of our shows makes movies. Two out of three of the shows makes movies. Do you think he means two out of three guys on the show? I'm not sure. Anyway, no, he says, no hard feelings, Steve. Check out our shows at Unrecognized Geniuses podcast.
Okay.
All right. So I actually went and had a look at their website. And yes, they are legitimately a podcast. And they seem to have been going for an awfully long time, too. So I thought what we might do is we might try and make connection with the Unrecognized Geniuses at some point. The reason why we had to cut them off so fast was because we were right in the middle of review. And we actually did say, don't call during the review. And had they called at the end of the review, then we probably would have chatted with them a little bit and had some fun. But... we were doing a review and we asked them what their opinion of the film were. They hadn't even seen the film, so it was kind of hard. We take our film reviews quite seriously. So Unrecognized Geniuses, no hard feelings are taken. And if you do want to call in again, you are welcome to. Just time it better. all right, Tristan has sent us an email as well. Hi, guys. Not so much tech related, but I just had to share these amazing photographs. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I've actually moved these to later in the show.
Right.
Because they are extraordinary. So I will save his email and we'll come back to him, okay? Because Tristan, not to hold you back, I've actually made you a featured part of the show. We also had this one and says, hi, Dave and Josh. A few points I thought I would add. One, wouldn't people who have a natural leaning towards violence be attracted to violent video games? Example, video games are not the cause of the behavior, but may help satiate the tendencies. Yeah, it's a possibility. I'm not going to argue that. Two, the argument used to be against violent. The argument used to be used against violent movies. Mm. My parents took me to see violent movies as a child. Saw Halloween, Friday the 13th, The Fog as an 8-year-old. I'm still yet to commit my first act of real intentional violence towards another human being.
Man. Yeah, yes. but I must be close because with the amount I've watched, I've got to be up to that, you know, sort of killing level.
He does say that although Wings of Flies is another issue.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, I never actually even did that.
No.
Says, maybe video games play a role in providing a release for base human tendencies. Exactly our argument here. Mm. Despite what the media would have you believe, the murder rate per 100,000 people in Australia is lower now than it was 100 years ago.
Wow.
If anything should have an R rating, it should be current affair type programs who seem bent on scaring the segment of the population whose IQ is so low they can't talk and breathe at the same time.
Wow.
Wow. Cheers, Jay. Thank you, Jay. Yes, I think we all are in agreement with you here. We also have this one, another one. This is another one that came from Tristan. Says, looks very promising. Says, hi, guys. Just a few more links I've come across. Looks very promising. Last week, it was augmented reality car, if you remember the Outrun car. Says, it's...
accident waiting to happen.
This week, it's augmented reality in general. Just think if you could get the HD images happening, there would be no need to draw up maps. You could just create your own and film it directly in real time. I think it looks very cool. And he sent a link through, which you can check in our show notes, which is basically about a group of people who are using the Kinect camera to do just this, to create augmented reality. We won't go into the whole details of it now. Just go and have a look at the article. It's about Microsoft Kinect research offering real-time 3D. He also says, though, and I do have a picture here which I thought I would share with you all. I've got both media files open here. Let's close that one down. All right. Check out this. Do we all want this in our living room? This is an 82-inch touchscreen. And he says, basically, why?
Wow.
I couldn't imagine having to stand 1 foot in front of this trying to read everything on a huge screen. But basically, it's not for us. It's for things like CNN. You know, those big touchscreens they use on the set and so forth. He actually does say in the article that talks about this TV, it says, we can't wait to see Wolf Blitzer work on this puppy, you know? So the link for that is also in our show notes. And thank you very much, Tristan. I quite personally think a TV like that would be awesome, especially here in the studio.
Yeah.
Just bring it up behind
us. Wants to donate one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they only cost about $80,000 or something like that. Yeah, it's small. All right, so the rest of that feedback is for film. The last feedback we have, though, is a great big long one, and this is going to lead us into a bit of a feature story. Now, Matt has written to us and says, hi, team. You've probably seen this already, but if not, and I may not read this whole letter, Matt, because it is very long. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase my way through this. But it says, you've probably seen this already, but if not, better spread the word as fast as possible. Sorry if this is a bit late for this week's show, but I assure you, you're going to want to talk about this story. It came in last night.
Yeah.
Facebook is giving out your mobile phone number, and you can't stop it, basically, is the link that he sent through. Now, I wouldn't have had a look at this, but he kind of breaks this down for us. He says, it goes further than that. So basically, when to explain what that means, basically, is that if you put your mobile number on Facebook, which I don't recommend, but some people still do, and then you get friends,
right?
If your account is visible to your friends, your mobile number is now visible to your friends. So you're not just sharing it with your friend, you're sharing it with your friends of friends, right? And if you haven't gone and fixed your privacy settings, you're basically broadcasting your mobile number or your phone number to the world. All right, so that's bottom line. Now, it gets worse and gets more insidious than that, which is when you install the Facebook app on a mobile phone, one of the last stages to installing that app, it says, would you like to share your contact list with your Facebook contact list? So basically, basically merging your two contact lists together. If you say yes to that, everybody who's in your Facebook, everybody who's on your mobile phone, regardless of whether they're on Facebook or not, is now on your Facebook. Now, what that means is that if you, if somebody then goes and joins Facebook who wasn't a member of Facebook before, it's immediately going to say, oh, you might want to be friends with these people because we know that you share a phone number with them, right? So it's holding on to those phone numbers, right? Wow. Now, that's the insidious part. He writes, though, to give us the even darker side of this, which is why he wanted us to bring it up. He says, it goes further than that. Despite having settings in Facebook app on iPhone set to not sync contacts, which is what I did as well. I never want my contacts shared. My number is out there, quote unquote, as is the incorrect number for my phone named Charlotte, who also appears in my Facebook phone book. Named Charlotte? Anyway. Rosebud. No. I believe it came from putting my mobile number into Facebook to get a text message sent to me to enable me to install the Facebook app back when I had my old phone. How Facebook got the incorrect number for Charlotte, a number that only ever existed in theory when I changed from Telstra to Virgin and only ever appeared in iTunes when looking at the phone details in iTunes when plugged in, is well and truly beyond me.
Wow.
So, okay, people I'm friends with have access to my mobile number. Big deal. Sure, it might be worse in the occasional annoying or unwelcome phone call. Not a problem. I'm a big boy and I can deal with that, what the world throws at me. But our 13-year-old daughter is on Facebook, as are her friends. Some of her friends are friends of mine on Facebook too, strictly for emergency purposes, in case we need to get in touch with her. Except now, I have their mobile number.
Wow.
Mm. Which concerns me greatly, but isn't the most concerning part. The most concerning part is that Facebook has, without anybody's permission, as far as I can tell, used some algorithm related to who it recommends as friends and added a bunch of mobile numbers to my Facebook phone book for people I don't know.
Wow.
Who aren't in my contact list on my phone and who aren't friends with me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Again, not a big deal if we're all adults, but Facebook has now given my mobile numbers of a bunch of 13-year-old girls across multiple states, some of whom are friends of our daughters that I've never met and who certainly wouldn't want a 31-year-old man they don't know to have access to that information.
Jesus, yeah. Man, that's creepy.
Now, he says, this is a serious concern and one I'm highlighting to the ACMA as well as a few other organizations immediately. Please share this information with your listeners and keep up the good work. I look forward to the impending, now Facebook-driven, robot apocalypse. Matt. Thank you, Matt, for bringing this to our attention. All right, boys, what are we thinking?
I think that it's the kind of thing that we've all learned to expect from companies like this. And, I mean, I can understand why I would see it. Like, to me, I always leave all those details empty. Always have, always will.
Me too.
I don't put even fake phone numbers. And if it asks me to, I will disown a service. Like, I would rather not have my information out there. And the only information I think I have now is hometown, and I just fill in a few of the religious box or whatever just so that people get a genuine idea of who
I am. When I first set up my Facebook account, I actually filled in all the boxes and, you know, all the things that you're supposed to fill in. And when I went through that phase about a year ago where I said I was leaving Facebook, I deleted everything from the account. Just went through and just emptied all the fields. I've since gone back when I decided that I would stay with Facebook for a little bit longer. I went back and I filled in some of the accounts, but I didn't put in things like, you know, I'm not sure if I put back in my school and stuff like that. I actually kept it really, really minimal. The reason for that is because I actually found out there were a lot of people who were trolling Facebook because they're looking for details like what school did you go to, what's your mother's maiden name, and so forth, because these are how they can do identity theft.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't want to have all these details in there because they can go through and they can say, oh, look, we now know this little profile of this person. They can go to a server and say, oh, no, I lost my password. My mother's maiden name is the school I went to school in, blah, blah, blah. And they can basically fill in all the details. So I worry about Facebook a lot. Yeah. And look, Matt, I immediately said to Matt, I said, this is another reason why I'm as soon as Google Plus opens the door and is no longer beta, I'm moving our entire profile to Google Plus, and I'll be off Facebook. I will close the fan page, and we'll
basically... Google's never collected information about us.
No, but Google doesn't ask for it.
No, that's true.
The Google Plus account doesn't ask for this information.
Does the Gmail account ask for it, though?
No, you can leave your profile empty if you want to. And I don't use the Gmail contact book.
Right. Yeah, no, of course. No, I don't, nor do I.
Because I use email through my mail application, so I use my computer's address book and everything is run through a mail application. I don't use their web interface at all.
Yeah,
so I don't have any information on Google except for public information, which this is a very important part, Matt, that we should also say to you. We've said it on the show before and we'll say it again. As soon as something is online, consider it public.
Absolutely.
So if these girls are putting their phone numbers on Facebook at all, tell them to get their phone numbers off Facebook. Go into the privacy settings and actually lock it down so that nobody can see that stuff, even friends, if they are going to have any information up there. If you go to my Facebook right now and you're my friend, you'll notice you can't even see my friends list. I've actually literally made everything private. So very little can actually be seen by anybody because I don't want that information public. If somebody asks me, I will be glad to tell them. You know, but I mean, look, my phone number, the number I always give out is pretty much public domain anyway. It's the number I use and I've been using for 10 years. And if anybody, it's on my business cards, it's, you know, it's the number I use. It's public domain. I don't give out my home number.
No.
You know, that's where my son and my wife are. They don't want to hear all these calls, you know. So if you're going to put stuff in Dropbox, if you're going to put stuff on Facebook, consider the fact that it's probably going to be public. Okay. If anybody wants to call in, of course, 802-801-13167 is our number, or Geek actually is the Skype ID. You're welcome to call. I'd love to hear what you have to say about this or any of the stories we talk about throughout the day. But this is kind of the hot button topic. This is so hot button a topic that even the ZDNet newsletter that I get every morning had an article about this as well. You know, it's really... They actually had a link where you could actually go and have a look at what phone numbers you had listed. And I was surprised to find out there was about 35 of my friends whose phone numbers are online.
Wow.
I don't know if my phone number is out there because, once again, all it takes, as we found out, is somebody to install the Facebook app, say, share my contacts, bang, your number is public. You know? So, look, somebody in our chat room, where are we? Oh, add me on Skype, says Matt. Have you put me here we go. Matt, this is David at Geek Action. So, how are you?
Somebody in our chat room.
All right, now turn down your computer, dude. You're getting feedback.
Add me on
Skype. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, dude?
Hey, how you going?
Not too bad. Can you turn down your computer? We're hearing feedback.
Yep, done now.
Should great. Right. Thank you very much. Matt, how are you? You're the one who brought the... don't play a video that you'll affect our stream. Thanks. Just do audio.
All done.
Thank you very much. Now, Matt, you're the one who brought this to our attention. Have you found out any more details?
Nothing else. I put it up a couple of places yesterday, but I figured I'd give Facebook a chance to get back to me first.
Yeah. Right.
Except,
Getting hold of them is actually very difficult.
Oh, look, Facebook won't answer you.
I figured that out, which is why I sent it to you guys. The thing is that other number on my phone, all my devices have names. My laptop is Marvin. My phone is Charlotte.
Mm. Hey, I name all my computers too.
That number that showed up was never ever put anywhere. It wasn't even used. It was the number that was programmed into the phone on the SIM card while my other number ported over. So. Wow. How Facebook got that number, because it was never in my contacts list on my phone, I don't know.
They've obviously extracted it. Somehow they've managed to extract it from iTunes is the only thing I can think of, because you say you plugged it into your iTunes account.
Mm. Exactly. So I'm pretty sure that's beyond what Facebook's saying they're doing. When they, even if people authorize them to get their contacts, which I never did. So they're clearly doing more than what they say they're doing in gathering the data. Mm. But then the other part of the equation is they're only saying they're showing you people that you already know. So at both ends of the equation, they're lying. So who else's data have they given to who? Like other data that they've collected from other people.
I think what this requires is one of us, if not one of the three of us at our table, but one of our lovely listeners in our chat room, needs to actually open up the Facebook terms of service and go through it with a fine-tooth comb. I'd like to actually know.
You always wonder, don't you?
Yeah,
you always wonder just like what little tiny sub clauses we've signed up for that we like. I mean, I always give it a brief run through, but it's one of those.
But they're
things.
Too long. That's the problem. The EULAs are too long at this point. The EULAs have gotten to the point where they're like novels.
It's it's what an academic I used to refer to as shrink wrapped contracts. It's just kind of like you just click yes, I accept, and everyone does it.
And what I love even more, better. That's terrible English. What I love even better than that, though, is I love it when they actually say, by breaking the seal on the software of
you're agreeing
to the EULA, which is actually inside the box. Yeah.
But if you're going to read the EULA, you've agreed to it.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. I think what we need to go through and actually find out what Facebook is actually saying up front, even in the small print, as to what they're data mining. Because they're obviously data mining from a whole bunch of sources, and I would love to know where it's coming from.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't even mind if they said, we're data mining this information, and I absolutely guarantee you I'm never going to give it to anyone.
Yep.
Except they just gave me a whole bunch of information that they said they wouldn't.
No, I think it's a very disturbing story. And the fact that ZDNet had an article about it this morning as well, their first word of advice to everybody was to go in and immediately check your privacy settings and to basically anything to do with contact details, lock off to nobody.
But the contact details is all it does is delete them from what you can see.
No. It's about your share. You can't control what everybody else is sharing. That's the problem. And the fact that there is that, what in your email, you actually said there's that clause which basically says, and they say it in the ZDNet article as well, when you agree, when you install the mobile app and it says, should we share your address book, that's terrifying. Because there's so many people who are just going to say, yeah, whatever, not even thinking about it. And you suddenly shared dozens and dozens and dozens of names and contact details of people who may not want you sharing that information. It's not your information to share.
Exactly, and that's what they've done, because they've shared information from friends of our daughter's friends. I'm getting that I don't know.
Yeah, and look, dude, I mean, it terrifies me, the concept of people being able to get access to this, because I have a lot of people on my lists who are people that are, quite high up in PR or something like this. It's like names that just shouldn't be just out there for anyone to grab, especially considering all the other information attached tells people who these people are. Yeah. So people can just start harassing these people. Mm. And it's like, Facebook was never supposed to be like this open, but at the same time, like you say, it's terrifying to think that just by one wrong click or just not checking these services, all of a sudden this information becomes public.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid you should be a protester in Syria using Facebook to communicate with people.
Oh, good Lord. Sure. Can you imagine? The government's
given all of your friends' details to everybody that works for the Syrian government, and now you're all screwed.
Yeah, absolutely. All the Syrian government has to do now is just data mine Facebook.
Oh, God.
Well, I don't even have to do that. Facebook might just share it with them. Because there were people in the list that were saying, add as a friend. Like, I don't know these people.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I don't know about Josh and Richard, but I'm in a situation where I have, out of my friends, my personal friends on my personal Facebook page, I probably only know about 20 of the people who are on my list, and I've got several hundred.
Hey, dude, do you reckon if we created a fake account, we put a picture of a nice little fluffy kitten, we create some name which sells, you know, like Bob Freewood or something like that, like something really, really bland, we could eventually get to Obama's phone number.
You're talking about like a 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just see if we can find our way all the way to the biggest number that we can possibly think of and just call him live on the show.
All right. I think we're on. Well, Matt, look, we're going to let you go because we got to move on to other topics. But
it's been fun, though, dude.
If anybody out there has any information about this or wants to share information with us about this or their experiences with this, send feedback to geekactually.com. So feedback at geekactually.com. There's actually a nice handy form to use on the Geek Actually page, so you can do that. We'd love to hear more experiences on this, and we'll keep our eyes on this, Matt. We want to know I'll keep track of some of the more recent news articles that are coming out to see what's good, because this has got to have repercussions.
My only disappointment was I actually deleted all the information and didn't take a screen capture so I could prove it later.
It's okay. It'll show up again, don't worry. If it was there once, it'll be there again. Now, I've also got to say, this is a call out to Google, basically saying, can you get your asses in gear and actually
please just fast track this.
Yeah,
shit.
Fast track the shit and actually take it out of beta. Because look, even if for nothing else, it's just a great way of sharing shows. And this is why I use the fan page on Facebook. And I'd rather do it all on Google. I really would. Not that I share information with Google. Don't get me wrong. I don't trust them either. I don't trust anybody out there, really. But at least with Google, they don't ask for this information, which is kind of where I'm going with this. Matt, do you have an online presence you'd like to plug or anything?
Nope.
Okay, cool. In that case, we're going to say goodbye. Thank you very much for joining us, and feel free to call in the future.
All right, cool. See ya.
Bye. Yeah. All right, so, okay, so that was that horrendous story, and that was the start of our horrendous day. but it's something that really needs to be talked about, and if anybody out there, we've had a lot of people in our chat room basically saying...
Everybody on the show is now carefully checking through their shit, like,
I guess this is the wrong time to say you can now watch this show on Facebook.
You know, the thing is, I just opened Facebook, and I'm looking through my privacy settings. They've made it so difficult now to go through and easily... Yeah,
security.
Oh, there's a security button, but that you have to... It's like menus within menus.
I'm going to show you guys something really scary. You ready for this? Watch this. This is the email that came to me this morning. This is the ZDNet newsletter. Here we go. Where are we? Angry Birds developer. I was going through here. Oh, here we go. I was going through the ZDNet newsletter this morning, guys. Yeah. Here it is here. Yeah. And there's how Facebook got your phone number, right? Yeah. There's an article. So when you click on this, I thought this was fascinating because all I did was went reading through it, and it says you can find out Facebook phone book. Now, I actually went to Facebook afterwards to have a look at this. There's no easy link in Facebook to find this information.
Wow.
Okay? So I followed their link. And check this out. This is all people whose phone numbers are accessible to me just by the mere fact that we're all on Facebook together. And there's that list.
Dude. Wow. Awesome.
Now, I didn't ask for phone numbers or anything like that. And how do I get to this page quickly from my profile? There doesn't seem to be a quick link to this, you know? So, yeah, no, it's quite scary. We'll put the links up to this ZDNet article as well, because I thought that was very, very interesting. Everything about this case is fascinating to me at this point in time. Okay, let's move on, though. Let's move on and see what else is in the news today. Another use for the artificial skin, Josh. Yeah. You know, the robot apocalypse, we talked about the artificial skin that gave robots the ability to touch and feel.
Yeah.
Well, they found another use for it, which is actually a little bit less sinister. They actually found out that they could take this skin, because it was so sensitive and so thin, they could take the skin and they could actually lay it on surfaces and actually basically get a reading from that surface. They could lift fingerprints with it. They could actually pick up debris. They could pick up DNA samples and so forth just with this thin membrane of stuff. And I thought, okay, there's a much more reasonable use for the artificial skin.
Just quickly, Dave, Does your phone number end in 357?
Yeah, it does.
You're on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. I never shared my phone number with Facebook, by the way. I just wanted to point that out.
I just want to... I think this is really important to keep talking about, too, because I just went in here and I've tried to adjust my security settings. So I've tried to tick a box that says, require me to enter a security code each time an unrecognized computer or device tries to access my account. I click that. Okay, set up now. You have to enter a phone number account before turning on login approvals. So anytime you try to change anything, it asks you to put in your phone number.
So, in other words, mining your phone number. Absolutely. Again. Oh, man. Mark Zuckerberg, I want you on the phone right now. I want you.
Well, we can probably find
it. Yeah, can somebody go Mark Zuckerberg scared, please? I want him on the phone right now. Sweet Pea said, don't be surprised when your phone comes alive and steals from you. Yeah, very true. And then, you know, the problem is, you know, this is where it gets a little bit worrisome for me. Is that I look at it and go, I'm looking forward to the day of things like near-field communication. I'm looking forward to the day of, you know, digital wallets and paying and so forth. But when this sort of crap comes up, you sit and go, I don't know if I trust it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know if I trust putting financial information on near-field communication devices. When you sit and go, it's too easy just to suck it all away.
Absolutely. You know?
But we do have hope. Let's move away from artificial skin and say this ought to be fun to watch, guys, because we've been talking about Facebook. Here's the ultimate Facebook story for you. Apparently, Anonymous, yes, right. They're back in the news again, has declared that the 5th of November, remember V for Vendetta and remember Guy Fawkes, they're going to bring Facebook down.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
So they've said, watch the 5th of November, they're going to destroy Facebook.
I don't see it happening.
This is going to be fun to watch.
Wow, man, you've got like the best hackers in Facebook going up against the best hackers, and it's going to be like an all-out hacker war. I'm totally, totally logging off all day that day.
Apparently, it's called Op Facebook, and it's being organized by Anon. It says, it actually said in their Twitter post, it actually says, this does not necessarily mean that all of Anonymous agrees with it. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens. Look, if they're going to pick a target, I think Facebook's an interesting target to pick. The only problem is, I would suggest to everybody out there that before the 5th of November, you go into Facebook and actually clear out all personal data. Because you know what Anonymous is going to do. If they do happen to win, they do happen to get in there, they do happen to strip it, they're then going to post everybody's personal details and logins. Absolutely. So I would suggest that just before the 5th of November, you might want to just go take out all personal details out of Facebook because this is going to get messy.
Yeah.
Freak says this is the internet equivalent of the atomic nuclear war.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. All right. So, and you know what? After that last story that we just talked about, I think Facebook kind of deserves it at this point.
I think it's funny that after finding that my number is available on Facebook, there's no way to remove it.
Well, you can't because your number is being shared by other people. You can't control what the other people are doing.
Who put it up there?
It would be in somebody's phone book, and they would have shared their phone book when they installed the mobile app.
That's terrifying.
As I say, I don't care. My phone number is fairly public. You know what I mean? But my wife's number will be out there now.
Yeah.
Because she's in somebody's phone book, you know? So, you know, and my son's phone number will be out there. His number will be in somebody's phone book, you know?
Three phone numbers for you, Dave.
Sorry?
Three phone numbers under your name.
Really?
Yeah.
I only ever use one.
Yeah, well, there's three.
I want to say, keep that page open. When we play a video, I want to have a look and see what phone numbers they've got up there. Some of them are probably dead numbers. But my mobile number hasn't changed in 10 years, so it should be the same.
Sarah's number's up there.
Oh, of course it is. All right, let's move on and say TV manufacturers must be getting a little bit nervous at this point in time because a latest study has come out saying, now, the reason why they're getting nervous is not that people have stopped buying. Come on. Load. Not people have stopped buying TV. Oh, this goddamn thing doesn't want to load sometimes. Not that they don't buy TVs. It's just that a lot of people buy two TVs, TV for the bedroom, TV for the kitchen. Well, it now turns out that 74% of people are using their smartphones in their house.
Yeah.
So they're basically watching. This is a study on watching video, on video apps.
Yeah.
And they're basically using smartphones, iPod touches, and tablet devices.
Yeah.
At home, 74% on smartphones, 76% on iPod touches, 78% on tablets.
Mm.
basically what this study is showing is that more people are starting to use their tablet device or smartphone device as their second TV.
Yeah.
So they buy one big TV for the living room, and then they watch TV in bed or whatever
by using their
devices.
Last night when I went to bed, I was sitting there with the controller less than a hand's width away and my phone sitting on my chest. Now, I was like, I'm going to watch a TV episode before I go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I did not go for the TV. I picked up my phone and watched it on that. So it's like, it is. It's easier, it's quicker, and it's quieter.
The statistic I thought was the most interesting out of all of this, though, was that everybody talks about the fact that, oh, you know, we've got to get battery life up because everybody wants to watch a movie on the plane. You know, they always talk about planes. On a plane is the lowest statistic.
Because we can't believe we can't.
18% of people on smartphones, 27% of people on tablets are using movies as their form of entertainment on planes. So I just thought that was very interesting. I just think it's really interesting that at home is the highest one. Where we have the TV, people are actually still watching movies and TV. And you got to consider, a lot of this is going to be the mere fact that they can get things like HBO at home. They can do Netflix. They can do... This is in America, of course. In Australia, we don't have as much volume going through our tablets.
I've noticed there's a large percentage of people in a car. I'm hoping they're not doing it while driving.
I'm hoping that's the kids in the back seat.
Yeah, no.
I like other indoor locations.
Just imagine somebody driving down the street like this.
Yeah. I like while waiting in line in the office. So there's a lot of people watching movies in their office.
At shopping malls.
Yeah, riding public transport. I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that. In school. In school rates higher than on a plane. I love that. I love using my iPad for watching YouTube, says Delta Knight. Absolutely. And my son uses his for YouTube all the time, you know? It's a great little YouTube device. Anyway, I just thought that was very interesting because it just shows that the second TV in the house is becoming a redundant thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you consider, I mean, I was hearing anecdotal stories about people who put up mounts on their fridge so that when they go to cook and stuff, they can actually slide their iPads in so they can have their recipes and stuff right there in front of them.
That's nice, yeah.
In their kitchen. Whereas if you remember back in the 80s and then the 90s, people always had a small portable TV set in their kitchens.
Yeah.
And they would play recipes, they played cooking shows and stuff like that. People have that second VCR in the kitchen even so they could play their cooking tapes and stuff. Not anymore.
No.
Nope. Gone. All right. How are we doing for time? Oh, way off time. All right. Skip it. Who cares? I had a quick story here about Skype basically going to be a bandwidth hog from now on. Yeah. The latest Skype for Mac update has now introduced HD video. Oh, good. There goes that bandwidth cap. We can just kiss that goodbye. Josh, I thought this was interesting for you. We're going to skip through some of these very quickly because there's some good stuff in the second half of the show. Your smartphone. The studies are now coming out, basically, and the game designers are actually now coming out and saying their primary focus is no longer focusing on gaming consoles. Because they said by 2015, their prediction is your smartphone. They're actually saying they're looking at the iPhone 8. It's what they're looking at. They're saying your smartphone will be your gaming console. Basically, you'll be able to wirelessly play it to a TV set, so you'll have it on the big screen, and it will be powerful enough to do anything the Xbox can do.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, like, the very fact that, you know, like, the TV will be a great idea and stuff like that. What they've got to realize, though, is the one thing that they've got to figure out with their iPhone 8 that's coming out is it needs to have a goddamn good control system.
Yeah, well, iPhone 8's still a few years away, but...
Man, I heard it's coming out next week.
That's five, dude.
No, next week, man. The iPhone 8, man, I saw pictures and everything. Yeah. It was on the internet, and the internet's the best source in the world.
I love it, though.
You found the internet, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I hear they share your phone number. the latest rumors going around is now saying September 7th will be the
iPhone 8.
Will be the Apple announcement, which is
That's the iPhone 5. The next day is the iPhone 8. I saw it on a website in the middle of nowhere that had nothing else on it apart from iPhone 8 with a picture. The 8,
Sweet P in our chat room wants to point out that the internet never lies.
The internet never lies. It's also made everybody a motherfucking doctor and a fucking tech expert.
Yeah, we haven't actually mentioned this on the show. We should say this very quickly. We have a live chat room. We've had a live caller, as you may have heard. We do go out live, and you can watch this show live every Saturday from usually around 12 p.m. Today was a disaster. But anyway, so usually around 12 p.m. Australian Eastern Time. Anyway, you were about to say something.
I was going
to
say, within the iPhone 8, there's a very tiny iPhone 6 and iPhone 7.
Yeah, which actually lets you make calls.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm going to get hate mail for this. I know in advance that playing this is like just lighting a match on a what are you?
I'm just looking ahead on the show notes. I can't wait till we get up to that one.
Would that be that one?
That'd be this one here.
Oh yeah. I've actually played a little bit of that before. Anyway, that's later. I'm gonna get hate mail for this. I know it's like a match to a tinderbox, but I have to play this video. It was from College Humor, and it's a little bit long. All right, it is actually about 3.5 minutes long or something like that, but it's worth it. All right. So I'm going to play this for you here, if I can find it, because, of course, my desk is a mess now. What the hell's going on? Here it is. All right. So here it is. This is basically a video, just to give you all a heads up, is about what really is a nerd. Okay.
Right. Quick question. Who are the biggest nerds in the world? Nah, it's not people like him. It's actually religious people, but not all religious people, like not this guy.
You want to come watch the game after church?
Oh, definitely not. But he's not a nerd. No, I'm talking about this kind of religious person.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard the greatest story ever told?
Because what is a nerd, really? It's just someone who's passionately obsessed with something, like a board game or a movie or a series of books. And who, I ask, who are more into their books than religious people?
Repent, young man, for lo, his word is the gospel. Woo! Hallelujah!
The details reveal even greater similarities. For instance, have you ever listened to two religious people argue?
Mark 21:12 clearly states that worldly goods are evil, and Jesus threw the moneylenders from the temple.
Bickering over minutiae, quoting the source material. Sound familiar?
Matthew 22:21, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, because midichlorians are clearly what Obi-Wan meant when he said the force both binds us and penetrates us.
Oh, yeah, right. Like Obi-Wan would ever be that literal.
And that's just how they talk to each other. Have you ever had the horrible misfortune of telling a nerd you're not quite into the thing that he's super duper into?
Dude, you watch Firefly yet?
I haven't, no, because I don't like that kind of stuff.
Come on, it's so good. Sure. It will change your life. Oh, my no. Wednesday night prayer group is just the thing for you, pal.
And when both get to arguing, only one thing can settle it. Word from the creator himself, usually portrayed as a large white man with a beard.
And God spoke to Moses from within the bush. George R. R. Martin just tweeted, whites can't be killed by decapitation.
And the similarities don't end there. They both enjoy dressing up in elaborate costumes. They both have interesting thoughts about dinosaurs. And they both gather once a week to worship in silence.
Thrones is on. It's not just a show.
Religious people aren't just nerds. They're the only nerds willing to kill you over the belief that their franchise is better than yours. That would be you ever see this? Religious nerdiness is so extreme, it's actually dangerous. How many people have died because the Bible nerds couldn't get along with the Quran nerds, or the Torah nerds hate the Bible nerds? Do you see what I'm talking about?
To the Ren Faire.
Point is, there's nothing wrong with faith or spirituality or worship, but if you're the kind of person who will obsess over something to the point where you're literally gonna kill another human, perhaps you should get a less intense hobby than religion. Like Firefly, Doctor Who, Settlers of Catan. Because at the end of the day, whether you're a regular nerd or a religious nerd, the net result is the same. Little to no premarital sex.
Nice.
No truer words have ever been spoken, I think.
Oh, man, that's good. I like that.
I thought that was fabulous. So, okay, now that we've had our little nerd out there, all right, we're just going to jump ahead to the geek stuff because you guys have already beaten me to the punch. All right, so here's a Nokia advertising failure, all right? This was great, and if you look at this ad at first glance, it's a girl talking on a phone, Nokia ad, so forth. But when you actually take closer look, it's she's talking on an iPhone.
How did happen?
Well, according to the article, they actually did a little bit of research, and they found out it's an iStock stock photo.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So Nokia, Apple loves you.
Yeah. And they wonder why they've lost the market share.
Okay. So with that with that said, I think, Josh, you like speakers, don't you?
I do like speakers. I have so many speakers.
You like good PC sound when you're playing your games?
Yes.
Yeah? Well, how many watts are you packing under your desk?
Most of them are in the cupboard right now. I can't really have it in my latest house, unfortunately.
All right, well, how about 2,000 watts, and your desk might look something like this. Wait for it.
Gotta get dipped. Gotta get dipped. Gotta get dipped. Gotta get dipped.
Now, you see, the problem there was the fact that any real sound nerd would know that if you're going to put out that much power, you bolt everything down.
For our audio listeners, that was just noise. Well, what it was a computer desk that has so much speaker power that as soon as the bass kicks in, everything is just rattling off the shelves.
Wasn't that the start of Back to the Future?
You know, it flew out the back door on that one. Okay, now, last week, you guys yelled at me and said that I'm going to be in such trouble for talking about the Chinese the way I did.
Right.
And I didn't. Yeah. I think because most people agreed with me. We love the Chinese for this.
No. It was an odd segue.
Yeah, it was that an odd was segue. All. We have another Chinese story this week, though, and I love this one. This is like something out of a Batman comic book. Some thieves were actually arrested this week because they were stealing iPads. And the way they did this was they actually fired a huge zip line from a building in Shenzhen over to the mainland. Oh. And they actually were ziplining iPads from Hong Kong all the way over to China. Wow. And they were only found because somebody noticed the zip line. And they were arrested. Now, the zip line was 300 meters long, and there's a photo on our show notes which actually shows the little canvas bag that was attached to it, and they basically just slid their iPads right across.
Wow.
So I love the ingenuity. I think it's fantastic.
Wow.
That is such a Batman story.
Look at this. We're watching the little video now.
I was going to put the video in the show notes, but it's all in Chinese. So yeah. I just thought it was kind of... They don't actually show the zip line either. I'd like to have seen the zip line. That would have been cool. Now, what else do we have? Oh, now I had this one really quickly. Now, I don't shave on a regular basis, as you may have guessed.
I mean, you know,
but I look at it and go, even when I did, I used to have a clean shaven face when I was managing a goodie store in America and stuff like that. I never found the need to shave on the go.
No, me neither.
Well, this company has come up with this little device, which is basically a razor that folds up into the size of a credit card. So you can keep it in your wallet. And I thought, I don't think I would ever need this.
No.
And wow. Also, I hope it's disposable because you don't want to put the whole wet razor back in your wallet again, you know?
This requires somebody who knows in advance they're going to need to shave.
This is for people who do one night stands.
It's for the complete opposite. It's for the person that wakes up in the morning with 10 minutes to get to work. The person
an electric razor in your car.
Yeah.
You don't have this.
Yeah, I got nothing. Fair enough.
Or you keep a razor in your desk at work. I don't know.
Sweet Pea says, so if you feel the urge to commit suicide. Well,
what was that?
Yeah, I don't think that sort of razor is the right kind of razor
for that.
Yeah,
and stick
I
that
really
in your...
don't think that's the kind of thing that they were developing it for. I'm just putting that out there.
It's not the sort of thing you'd put in your wallet and then get on a plane and forget about it.
And oh, yo, God, could you imagine? And Freak in our chat room says, maybe it's for people who have half a beard by 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah,
that's
possibly.
That's kind of me. You know?
Yeah.
All right, so pointless invention number one. Okay. Now, this is the one Richard wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Richard wanted this, so we have to play it. We all love porn parodies here. I'm a big fan of porn parodies. In fact, I just watched the Spider-Man porn parody
last week.
And we've seen, and we have seen a lot of Star Wars porn parodies.
Mm. Yeah.
Over the years, there's been those porn wars, and, you know, there's been a lot of them, right? Well, the new one from Vivid is about to come out. There's a whole new range of porn parodies.
Mm. And Vivid's doing one.
This is Vivid, yeah. Mm. And I got to say that I actually thought this trailer was mildly amusing. So I thought, this is clean. It's safe for work, all right? So this is the clean trailer. This is the one
clean called, trailer.
The clean trailer for a porn parody.
Isn't that a funny world we've got to where we have clean porn?
Clean
the
porn
green band.
The Green Man porn trailer. So here you go. Just watch.
I don't have words.
A young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until I cut his arms and legs off and left him burning in a river of lava. I think I want to go home now. I'm Luke Skywalker.
I'm here to save you.
I'm being rescued by a transvestite.
You know, sometimes I even amaze myself.
She's rich. She's really hot. I mean, really, really hot.
You got a problem here.
Inject! Inject!
I can't pull the stick back anymore.
There's really not much else to show, though, is there?
What is that?
Bantha milk, what you think he asked for?
Disgusting.
Okay, yeah.
That.
September, we'll be there.
All right.
Coming out to coincide with the Blu-ray release of the original
coming.
Trilogy.
Yeah, you said coming.
That looks fantastic.
It does. They've actually spent some money on this one.
They have. Looks better than anything in the prequel trilogy.
It's probably going to have better direction and better acting.
I like the sexy stormtroopers too.
Come, good food, come.
Gives whole new meaning to that line. Wow. Oh, dear. Oh, he screams like a girl, says Sweet Pea. Now, Josh, I thought you might be interested in this picture. We did a whole bunch of talking at one point about nano watches. If you remember all the nano watches a company has actually come up with the Android watch. So basically, it's a little watch that runs on Android. So you can have all the little... Apparently, it doesn't do like the Android apps. Not quite powerful enough, but it handles the basic Android stuff. So it'll hold your contacts and your dates and, you know, what have you. So there you go.
And music?
It doesn't say anything about music. See, the nano watches will play music.
Yeah.
Well, they're basically the Swatch, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's basically just a Swatch watch all over again. So, it is kind of colorful. All right, let's move on. I just thought that was kind of cute.
Hey, look good on them, man. You got to have balance, right?
Absolutely. Geek food. Actually, not even geek food. Not even geek food this week. Just weird food, all right? And I'm just going to say right up front, the French aren't like you and me.
Okay. That's a strong statement.
See, last week it was the Chinese. This week it's the French.
Yeah, I know.
What's with this guy?
All right, let me tell you the story, and then you tell me if I'm wrong, all right?
All right.
So the French have a particular delicacy they like. It's a duck delicacy, okay?
Yeah.
What they do is they mildly roast the duck, right? Just so it's still pink, right?
Yeah.
They cut the breasts away from it because that's the delicacy, right? You want the breast part. They cut the legs away because the thighs away because they use that.
It sounds like the start of a horror film. Yeah.
They cut the liver out because they're going to make pate with that, obviously. The rest of the duck, though, bones, internal organs, everything is put into this. This is called the duck press. And they squish all of the juice out of the rest of the duck, everything, into a bowl. They sieve it. They add a bit of cognac and a little bit of stock, and then they use that for the sauce on the breasts.
Well, you know what? You can't accuse them of wasting it.
Yeah.
Come on, they've got to be the only culture in the world that's using every part of the animal. Yeah. In fact, I would imagine that they then take what's left, crush it into a powder, and use it as chalk.
Little Geek says, I'm going to vomit.
Yeah. That's heavy duty, though, man.
The best part of this, is there's actually a restaurant in France that still has a couple of these duck presses that they use, these beautiful duck presses. They actually have them in the dining room.
Right.
And you basically get dinner and a show.
Wow, man. Can you imagine what that would sound like?
I was thinking duck press was something ducks used to post to their
blogs. There is a picture, of the final results. I didn't put that in the show notes.
No, I'm glad you didn't.
This is a very old tradition. It's a very old recipe. And basically, they've been doing this for an awfully long time. And I do. You're right. I give them credit for using every part of the duck. Yeah. But at the same time, all I got to say is...
that's heavy.
Right. Sweet Pea in the chat room wants to point out that the Chinese use the whole turtle.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
You go. Yeah. So it's not just the French, but I just got to say, all I can think is, let's start our meal with snails. Move on to duck pressed. And apparently, the second course is the thigh, but they don't get the sauce because the thigh is just the sauce. That's just the thighs.
Is it just me, or does using the whole turtle sound like a euphemism?
That's what she said.
Yeah. Moving right along.
We also have this, just to wash that bad taste out of your mouth. This is a, and quite frankly, yeah, it is. This is a Japanese artist who actually does sculptures with food.
Right.
And he's a geek because his sculptures are things like this.
Nice. There we go.
Bit of sweet potato, bit of carrot, you know, so forth. And he does sculptures like this, which I thought was really cute. Spider-Man and the noodles, right? And then we've got R2-D2.
Oh, yeah.
Carved out of a sweet potato.
Nice.
We ended those too soon. There's a whole page of those, by the way. If you want to go and have a look, he's got Darth Vader's. He's got Walkers. He's got all sorts of stuff. He's got a Battlestar Galactica. Cool. It's very cool. The link is in our show notes, as I say. He's got this. No, I'm not familiar with this anime character. He's a big robot with a sword.
It looks sort of Gundam-ish.
It does kind of, yeah. And look, I think these are Pokemon.
Oh, they are Pokemon.
Yeah, so
that's definitely Pikachu.
Yeah, so, and look, there's a Pod Racer too, so he does equal opportunity across the board. So you can go check out his sculptures at his website, which is in our show notes. So he's very good. But the photo that I just showed up by accident was actually the one that comes from that email that I talked about before. So this is a little section that we don't do every week, but we call it our little slice of history. And sometimes it's computer history. Sometimes it's, this is photography history. And Tristan writes, "Hi, guys. Not so much tech related, but I just had to share these amazing photographs from World War II.
Right.
I couldn't believe these were from that era. They look way too perfect and amazing. Maybe they have been touched up with Photoshop or something. It looks as if some of these photos may have been staged too. But for that era, these photos are amazing. My personal favorite would be a picture of the P-51 flying over the hills." Now, I don't have all of these photos on the board, obviously, but the link is here for you to have a look at. Now, these photos are beautiful, and if you actually read the description about these photos, the reason they're so beautiful is they're all shot on transparency. So they're all beautiful slide shots, and it just really goes to highlight that even in that era, we had beautiful photography. I have a couple here that we can show on screen. This is a woman working in a factory setting up a turret, and you look at these photos, they look like they were shot today. They look like a period film.
Oh, wow.
And they're beautifully crystal clear, and it just does go to highlight that there was color in World War II.
Wow.
We're so familiar.
That last one, the one with the guy with the grenade.
Yeah. This grand. I actually really like the one with the tank. I think the one with the tank is just fantastic.
This one's brilliant.
Yeah, that's a foundry. They're making the elbow joints on pipes. It's really, really good. And there's also this one of her working inside an engine mount. And I also have this one here, which is a plane being taken out onto the runway. They're fabulous. And there's actually a very old anecdote that I heard a while back saying that a lot of stuff was shot in color during World War II. But at the time of the newsreels and so forth, they actually believed that it was too much for people to deal with. Wow, and that's why they really approved all the black and white stuff and didn't let the color stuff go out. And there's actually a great documentary series that shows up on the History Channel every now and again called World War II in color. And you can actually see a lot of this color footage. And here's the last little bit of this anecdote, which is in Saving Private Ryan, the storming of Normandy at the very beginning, that opening 20 minutes, apparently there are actually a couple of real shots in that opening sequence.
Wow.
Spielberg actually cut them in, particularly in the aftermath, you know, like the long shot of like the beach after it was all done. Some of this stuff is real. We don't know which shots are. We don't know which ones are faked, but apparently he did slip some in. That's the rumor anyway.
Wow.
So they're well worth going and having a look at, because if you're into photography at all, these are just beautiful. Yeah. Yes, they are staged. They're propaganda shots, but they're just beautiful. You know, they're just beautiful to look at. So have a look at those. All right. Freak has just shared the link in our chat room for those who are watching live. And the link is in our show notes for those who are listening. Okay, the other piece of history we had actually was just something that I thought was beautifully funny. The founder of HP. The founder of HP apologized in a letter publicly that he knew nothing about computers.
Right.
Now, let me read this in detail. It actually says, Frederick Terman wanted to help the U.S. Army acquire a computer. So he turned to HP's Bill Hewlett and asked if he could help with his computers. And Bill Hewlett sent this letter to him, which basically says, Dear Fred, I have no personal knowledge of computers, nor does anyone in our organization have any applicable knowledge. Sorry, we can't help you out in this regard. I should state for the record that this letter was 55 years old. So there you go. 55 years old. 55 years ago, Hewlett and Packard knew nothing about computers.
That's amazing. Right,
so I just thought that was beautiful. How things have changed.
Yes.
All right. So there's our little bits of history. All right, we're going to get on to some picks of the week. Now, I've got to be upfront and say that I don't have any personal picks this week because I've been doing a lot of movie watching this week. I haven't had time, except playing Words with Friends. I'm slightly obsessed by Words with Friends at the moment. So I'm going to rely on you guys to do some picks.
Okay.
But I do have a couple from Delta that he's sent through, so we can follow these up. He has one here that when he put it through, I thought, Josh, this is for you, dude. Mm. It's an Android app, so I can't test it.
Right.
But I thought you might do something for us here. Basically, it is an Android network hacker toolkit.
Right.
That you can get. This is the screenshot on screen right now of what it looks like. And according to the article that he sent through, which the link is in our show notes, of course, as always, it's from Technobob.
Yeah.
It says, if it would ever load. It's called the... where are we? All right. So it says... While iOS users can pretend to be hackers with games like Hack Run and iHack, those who own Android gadgets will soon be able to break into networks and computers for real. That's because Israeli security firm Zimperium is about to launch an app that can search for vulnerable targets and infiltrate them, allowing users to eavesdrop or even attack the devices. The app is called ANTI, A-N-T-I, and is short for Android Network Toolkit. It was introduced to the Zimperium at last week's DEF CON hacking conference and reportedly impressed several attendees for its ease of use and affordability. So there you go, Josh. Your mission is to find out more about ANTI, okay?
ANTI, right. Okay, cool.
All right. And the other thing that Delta sent through, I just thought, I don't know how much use I'd have for it, but I look at it from a student point of view, and I think this is pretty hot stuff. This is called Note Taker, and it's basically an iPhone case that you snuggle your iPhone into, and it actually has a little notepad at the bottom with your pen.
Right.
Has place for your headphone jacks and all that. It can also sit the iPhone at either orientation, and when closed, you can still see the iPhone screen. And you basically just carry it around like it's a little notepad.
That's kind of cool. Nice.
That is kind of like cool. That. Apparently, like only available overseas at this point in time. So,
Nothing cool ever comes out here.
I know. All right, so you guys got anything?
I was struggling to think of something on the way up here, and this is going to be really boring, but I've got to give props to the Australian government this week. We had the census.
Never on this show.
No.
Wash your mouth out.
I'm sorry. No, but we had the census this week. I think this is the first time we had the e-census, so we could do the census online.
Yes.
Such a breeze.
Yeah, we did it online
was,
too.
It was, I remember the 5 years ago when we had the last census, it was, 40 minutes of forms, filling them out. Such a breeze. The questions are stupid.
Absolutely.
I don't know what they hope to accomplish and what they hope to
I also found it. I found it a little bit disturbing that under religion there was no option for atheist.
Atheist, no, there wasn't. You could put in other and then write atheist, but that wouldn't count it as in the no religion category, which is what I ended up ticking.
Yeah, that's what we ticked as well.
I don't know, but I thought that was kind of cool. I'm also addicted at the moment, strangely, to Lifestyle Channel, Lifestyle U. And
you're speaking to the wrong person. We live on Lifestyle U and food.
Yeah, Lifestyle U. I've been watching. I watched like 4 hours of wedding shows last night, and there's this guy had a Willy Wonka themed wedding because he had to. It was like this show where you have to, with a guy plans the wedding with, and the woman has no knowledge of it whatsoever.
Right.
And so this guy decided to do a chocolate themed wedding and do the whole thing. He even had like an Oompa Loompa choreographed dance at the end of the wedding. It was mental. I don't know why I decided to choose that one, but it was like the last thing I did before going to bed last night.
Right.
So it was, that's my geek pick. I haven't done, like, I'm the same boat as you. I've been watching so many movies this week, which I'll talk about in about 15 minutes. But yeah, so I haven't done anything new geeky. But
yeah, we tend to live in the lifestyle channels. It's
your lifestyle and
food. We live on the food
lifestyle
channel.
Food, and I just love having like you know something like.
Have you been watching the Great British Bake Off or whatever it is?
Yeah, I've been watching a few
with the
of
tents
them.
And the everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, we're getting sidetracked. We haven't watched this week's, which is the big final, so we got
to
watch.
Oh, right, yeah, no, I'll have to watch that. But I don't know what it is. There's something strangely compelling about these shows.
There is.
It's not even geek. It's totally mainstream.
Oh, it's not geek at all. There's nothing geeky about the food
except
channel.
For the fact that I'm paying for television. So,
yeah, well, there is that. All right, Josh, what do you got?
Well, I've got two things. Number one is there's a game, and this is the first time in a while that I'm actually not sure if I like it or whether I'm just sort of obsessed with trying to figure out whether or not it gets really good. It's a game that was actually designed for the Xperia Play. But it's Android, so therefore you can get it. It's called Cyberlords. And it's kind of a top-down-esque. It reminds me of a game. Did you either of you guys ever play Shadowrun? Which was like an old game. It was like That's Tech funny. World, and it was implants and stuff like that.
Yes.
Now, it was a really good game, and there's been a void missing ever since I've... stop playing it. And Cyberlords is kind of the filler of that, as best as I can give it. And you get multiple people, and it's almost turn-based because you can select your people individually. Very Baldur's Gate-esque kind of a control system. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be intensely deep, but it has all the features you'd expect.
But it is profoundly shallow.
It has guns, it's got stabbing,
thanks,
you know, and it's just... It's cool because it's an RPG that I can play on my phone that doesn't drain the battery intensely, and the graphics are all right. So yeah, no, Cyberlords is one of my picks of the week. The other thing is that I found on the Android website one thing that you and me used to love for the iPhone, Comic Book Moby.
Oh, because it seems to have disappeared off of
Apple. Yeah, because I tried to get it last week and it wasn't there.
Yeah, it's there. And so I just thought I'd let everybody know, if you do have an Android, you can get that app that we all intensely loved back in the day.
Well, I've still got it on the iOS device, but you can't seem to get it.
No, I tried to buy it. I ended up getting one called Comic Glass instead, but which is okay.
Yeah, so I actually downloaded Comic Glass. I had a look at it because of your recommendation. And... I liked it. It was okay.
Yeah.
But Comic Book Moby's better.
Yeah. No, I couldn't get the one I wanted. So
and that's the thing. It's like, I think if you had Comic Book Moby, you would never change from that. But if
Pretty
you missed
much,
out
yeah.
on it, it's a bit sad. But
I'd
yeah,
like
no.
to know if anybody who works or knows anything about Comic Book Moby is ever listening to the show. I'd love to know what happened.
Yeah.
Why are you gone? What happened? You know?
If you've turned up on Android, why have you gone from
iOS?
Maybe it's got something to do with
the Apple Store stopped them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean that's the kind of thing you would understand.
But
happening.
Why? There's nothing in it that would block them. I don't understand.
Particularly when there are like a plethora of other readers out there.
And they all do basically the
same.
No,
but like I think maybe it's the style, or maybe it's pulling out individual comic things. Like I don't know.
I don't know. Comic Book Moby was is such a good reader.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you have that intelligent zooming, so if you actually touch on a speech bubble, it'll actually pop up just the speech bubble, so you can actually read that. It's not always 100% accurate, but it's pretty good and seems to do the job. So
yeah. I'm really glad, though, man, because I've been using a couple of apps. I've been using Droid Comics, and I've been using something called ACV, which is another comic book reader. Sorry, Perfect Viewer was the other one. ACV is that one. But both of them crash quite regularly. Like, they run out of memory as an internal thing, and they're both free apps. So it's like you kind of get what you pay for. And it's really nice to just find it.
Is Comic Book Moby free on the Android, or does it cost money?
No, it's the same price.
Yeah, because it was
always
the most expensive.
And you know what?
Reader.
It's one of the few times that I'll actually look at it and go, all right, cool, no
I'll
problems.
Pay it. Yeah.
It's like, I will buy that, and I will accept how much it costs because it's totally worth it.
Yeah, it is. It's really solid. It's rock solid. Yeah. I will say, just so while we're talking about comic books, actually one of the things that I could actually pick, it's a television show, so it's not actually a app or anything like that. But on Richard's recommendation, I actually managed to get hold of and watch the 10 episodes of Ink, Alter Egos Exposed, which is a documentary all about comic books.
Yeah.
And it is fantastic. I watched eight of the episodes in one sitting, and then the other two, I think it's 10 or 11 episodes.
It is 10, yeah.
10 or 11, something like that. But I basically watched it over 2 days, and it is fantastic. It's just all the people who actually write and draw comic books talking about.
Yeah. And they've got some amazing people on
there. Yeah, absolutely. There were a couple of people who were absent that I was surprised were absent. Mm. Like they don't actually ever have Frank Miller.
No.
Which I thought
and
was very interesting.
Turns up
and he does. They didn't have, of course, they didn't have Alan Moore, but he doesn't do any of that sort
but
of stuff.
But he's done his own one, which is really good. If you can get hold of it, it's I can't even remember the name of it. It's a whole documentary where he just talks about his influences, his works. He talks a lot about, you know, his mystical influences in particular.
Alan Moore is a weirdo, by the way.
He's an absolute, he's a weirdo-beedo.
Yeah, he is. And, he's out there.
But this doco is actually really good because it's just him talking, and it's probably the equivalent of having watched 1,000 of these things of him, and you get more value out of that.
I also thought it was very interesting that they didn't have Kevin Smith on there. He's a talker, and I would have thought he would have wanted to talk about it, because he's written a lot of comic books.
He has.
And for some reason, they didn't have him there either. And I thought that was those are two omissions.
Yeah. They have, like, Grant Morrison on there. They've got
Grant Morrison, people. Of course, they had Stan Lee. He got the opening of an envelope. But they had John Romita Sr., which I thought was really interesting.
And they've got some of the really classic people, like Denny O'Neill, I think, is on there. Or is it Neil Adams? I can't remember.
Neil Adams is on there. Gail Simone Absolutely, was there. Yeah. And some fantastic people. And it's them just talking about their influence. And each episode is broken into a theme, so it's like comics and politics or comics and what have you, and they talk about those themes. There was actually one guy though who I love, he's one of the artists, and he said, I know I'm about to offend every fanboy out there, but guys, they are for kids. And
wow.
he goes when you really get down to it, when you boil down a comic book, it's about teaching morals, right and wrong, so forth, and he goes, they are for kids. They're written for kids, you know? He says, let's not pretend that they're anything other than that. And he says, I'm going to piss off every fanboy. And of course, we're not talking about the more adult-oriented comics, but the superhero comics are essentially written for kids, you
absolutely.
Know? But who cares? Because they're great fun. And it is a great series. So if you ever get your hands on a copy of Ink, Alter Egos Exposed, it's a really, really good show.
Excellent.
And I want to say thank you, Richard, for recommending that to me, because it's fantastic.
No worries.
All right. That's it. That's a show.
That's a show. Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap a bow around this puppy and get out of here. We got a film show to do.
Is it puppy?
if you want to send feedback, or if you want to talk about this Facebook problem or anything like that, please send your feedback to feedback@geekactually.com. Leave us a voicemail at 0280113167, or our Geek Actually is our Skype ID. You can just use that as well. Merchandise, fan page, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. Just go to geekactually.com. Follow us button, you'll be able to find it. I just redid the contact us page. It now has a lovely form that actually has a drop down so that you can actually use the drop down and it'll send mail to Film Actually or Geek Actually or what have you. So it's all there. It's really easy to use. It also has all the addresses for all of our social networking and everything. So just go to contact us on the website and you'll be able to log into all of us. Remember, we do go out live. You can watch the show live. And as I said before, you can now watch it on Facebook as well. So if you're one of those people who never leaves Facebook, you can watch us there as well. You don't have to go anywhere else. Go to our fan page, which you can find the link on our site, or if you just go to Facebook and look up Geek Actually, go to our Facebook fan page, and on the sidebar, you'll actually see it says Ustream Live. Click on that, and it'll actually take you to the live page right there on Facebook.
Nice.
Chat room, everything. You'll be able to do it all from there, so you don't have to never have to leave Facebook. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, but anyway.
Wow. If you're guarding Facebook with a shotgun so they don't get your
That's right. Make sure you have all your privacy settings locked down. Okay, and the other thing I want to say was, as I say, we do this live every Saturday, 12 p.m.-ish, Australian Eastern Standard Time, UTC+10, geekactually.com/live. That's all I've got. Richard, where can people find out more about you on the net?
They can find me at therealbits.com. That's RELLBITS.com. They can find me at DVDBITS.com and, of course, on Twitter at DVDBITS.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And Josh, where can people find more about you?
RealSC.com is a gaming website. You should check it out. There's a whole bunch of new stuff, and we have a whole incredible amount of Studio 33 stuff coming out over the next few weeks. So you guys should all go over and check that out.
Cool. Excellent stuff. Sweet. All right. With that all being said, we do have a film show as well. You can find it on iTunes called Film Actually, or at our Geek Actually website. You can find all the back episodes. We're going to do that next on the live feed. So if you are watching live, you can stick around. We're going to be reviewing Green Lantern this week. And we have a new list of five. Five movies with a color in the title. So
I'm sorry. I fucking hate you, man.
I, you know what? As soon as I started writing this list, it was they come pouring out of you like, oh my god, how many are there? All right, so it was actually, the trick was to cut it back, not to find them. All right, why do I have no mouse? Here we go. Okay, we're going to
it's a deeply philosophical question.
Why,
David,
do I have no mouse? On that note, we're
that
gonna
is
say,
why you fail.
On that note, we're gonna say geek on, everybody, and we will see you all next week. The people.